Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. While the sun is shining today throughout the northern plains, the clear skies helped temperatures drop below freezing last night and early this morning. World Weather Incorporated senior agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner says the overnight temperatures recorded in North Dakota this morning is unheard of for this time of the year.
As we go forward through these next few days, we are going to see multiple nights of freezes. Of course, this morning it was just downright nasty nippy out there. The Glen Olin airport out just to the west there of Dickinson was 17 degrees above zero. That's just absolutely unheard of, I think, when it comes to this time of the year. We saw temperatures in the 20s in the rest of the region and a lot of hard freezes throughout all of North Dakota, a big part of central and northern sections of South Dakota and northern Minnesota. And this is just the first day. We are going to see more of this all the way through Tuesday of next week.
Highs are in the 40s and 50s today, but it will be cool into early next week. The northern parts of North Dakota and Minnesota will even see snow in the weekend forecast. Lerner says one area in the region will miss out on the bitterly cold temperatures for now.
The only area that will probably miss out on a serious freeze over the next two nights will be eastern South Dakota and west central into southern portions of Minnesota. Those areas will see lows in the 30s. It'll probably come close to freezing, but may not go very far below it. Now, as we get into Monday morning, that will change again, and we will see 20s occurring across all of the Dakotas again and Minnesota as well. Now, some of these crops will be able to recover, but these temperatures are really quite cold, even for those that are frost resistant. So we'll have to just kind of wait and see what the impact is going to be.
With below-freezing temperatures and snow in the weekend forecast, Buxton, North Dakota-based Countryside Insurance Agency owner Jennifer Otison reminds farmers to keep in close communication with your crop insurance agent. Early planted sugar beets in the southern Red River Valley are starting to emerge, and a notice of loss must be reported before reseeding.
One of the things that RMA did change for this year due to COVID-19, the acreage requirement when it comes to self-certification replants, it used to be if you had a replant under 50 acres, you would be allowed to do a self-certification replant, but they changed that to 100 acres, so this is very helpful. Also, to be eligible for a replant payment, you need to have 20 acres or 20%. That same 2020 rule also applies towards preventive planting.
Even though the calendar shows May, farmers are still trying to wrap up their 2019 corn harvest in parts of the region. Otison says those insurance claims are being worked out on a case-by-case basis.
If it's added land, that's the biggest thing. So if they have not, if that's new land to them and they're still standing crop out there, they more than likely will not be eligible for any preventive planting payment. If it's not added land, then the adjuster will work with them on a case-by-case basis. Just a big thing to remember is it needs to be common to the area. We've been pretty wet in most places, so it may not be an issue, but it's something that you really need to be working with your agent and your adjuster with.
With cooler temperatures in the forecast, AskGro DeKalb technical agronomist in North Dakota, Evan Tweet, says right now a little bit of planting patience can go a long way.
Probably better off to be doing or putting corn and soybeans in when the ground conditions are correct than putting them in earlier and having problems with the population or final fan, because those aren't going to equate to yield at the end of the year. I know we tell people that earlier planting dates are usually ones that are going to be better yielding. And I think that with some of the soil conditions, some of the cold weather that we're having, it's probably going to be beneficial just to wait. Probably end up with a better stand, more uniform stand coming out of the ground.
Some farmers have started planting corn in western North Dakota. Tweet says there's usually more corn planted in central North Dakota by this time, but those cooler temps and wet fields continue to delay progress.
Tough to say with the forecast looking forward when we're going to be able to get into some of those fields. So I know there's guys that have tried. Now hopefully we don't have to worry. Hopefully that frost is out of the ground. So when we do get a chance to go, we won't be getting stuck anymore. But there are going to be some areas of the field that are going to be probably too wet to get planted. If not for the short term, might even be for this whole spring. So, time will tell. Hopefully we get some dry weather strung together and we can put some corn in the ground yet.
Soybeans are trading higher on fresh export sales. Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoof says frost and freezes in this weekend's forecast is also supporting the market.
This year has been strange from the standpoint that more producers than ever before have tried to plant soybeans ahead of corn, trying to boost their yields. And this is going to be a worry for them. If they have soybeans coming out of the ground, cold temperatures will hurt soybeans and force them to replant. Now, if a corn crop is plant is just sticking out of the ground, there's probably not much damage to it because the growing point is below the surface yet. But this could really be a bad situation for soybean producers. They may have to have a lot of replant if there's significant frost damage.
Traders are expecting next week's USDA supply and demand report to show U.S. corn carryout well over 3 billion bushels. Zahner Group Ag Hedge Lead Ted Seifert says this planting season is on track to meet USDA's estimate of 97 million acres planted to corn.
We really probably don't need that many acres for corn. You know, just looking at the balance sheets that have been offered in front of this WASDE report that we'll see on Tuesday, you know, the average trade guess is looking for well above a 3 billion bushel carryover for corn based on the big acreage number and trend line yield. And you know, worried a little bit about demand considering everything that's going on. So that could keep a bit of a lid on a corn rally.
And just a friendly reminder, you can hear the latest farm news, weather, podcasts anytime. Listen on to RRFN.com, Spotify, Amazon Alexa, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. Trade negotiators from China and the U.S. talked by phone this morning, pledging to create favorable conditions for the Phase 1 trade deal. According to China's state-run news agency, the two sides agreed to enhance economic and public health cooperation and move to create a better environment to implement the trade deal.
There are 10 days left in the Minnesota legislative session. Ag lobbyist Bruce Clavin says there is a heightened interest in getting a bonding bill completed.
Government spending in a time like this can actually help stimulate the economy. There's wide support to get it done. There may be a little gamesmanship, there always is with it, but I think a bonding bill will come together. The question always is, what's the size of it? The last number the Senate Republicans threw out was $775 million. Governor Wallace was at $2.3 or $2.6 billion. The House was similar, so were the Senate Democrats. So they'll find a number in between there. I think a reasonable estimate would be 1.2 to 1.5. I could see that kind of being the middle of the road.
The session will wrap up on May 18th. Clavin says there are some discussions happening about the need for special sessions later this year.
If there's a special session, it will be because of a need, and it will require everybody to agree in advance. So if we have a second outbreak or we have something like that come up, a special session will be likely, and I think there could probably be more than one between now and the end of the year. But it would be called not just to be called. It would be called for a specific reason.
The General Accountability Office, GAO, is recommending USDA and the Food and Drug Administration fully collaborate on the oversight of cell-cultured meat. The technology for this product is still in development and not commercially available, but the government is preparing for that likelihood. USDA and FDA signed an interagency agreement last year, but the GAO wants to see more done to minimize overlap between those two agencies.
This week, 14 meat packing plants resumed operations across the U.S. Three are located in the Northern Plains, including Smithfield Foods in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, JBS in Worthington, Minnesota, and the Genio Turkey Store in Wilmer, Minnesota. In a statement, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue says all of these plants are reopening safely, following an executive order from President Donald Trump directing facilities to implement guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control and OSHA.
In a letter to House and Senate leadership, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson and two other lawmakers are asking for $250 billion. Those funds would be used to create a plan for testing and contact tracing of frontline workers, including those in food and agriculture. The lawmakers say any movement to reopen economies at the state or national levels must also have a good level of testing available.
A secure sheep and wool supply plan has been developed by the American Sheep Industry Association in the case of a foot and mouth disease outbreak. The plan focuses on business continuity, which is critical for food security and animal well-being. The poultry, beef, milk, and pork industries have worked collaboratively to develop business continuity plans for their industries as well.
South Dakota farmers are getting the 2020 crop in the ground. Brookings-based Winfield United Regional Agronomist Kyle Gustafson says this year's planting progress is far ahead of the 2019 pace. A mostly dry March and April allowed already saturated soils to air out.
We were able to start fixing some of our sins of 2019, if you will. We got some of that corn harvested that never had a chance to get harvested. We talk about corn, but I'm actually surprised how many soybeans are in the ground, too. We're actually ahead of normal for our plant, our soybean planting as well. And there was actually a lot of conversations around, there were some soybeans that were planted ahead of corn because there's been some data in the last few years that's been coming out that's suggesting that earlier soybean planting actually can be positive from a yield standpoint.
As crops start to emerge, the weeds grow right along with them. There was a high amount of prevent plant acres in South Dakota last year. Gustafson reminds farmers to focus their weed management plan on those fields first. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Mikkel Pates. Mikkel, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week for next week?
Well, as we are in this brave new world of COVID, you have the stories about the impact on packing plants and the interest of farmers to direct market their products to consumers. And I happened to find a family from down in South Dakota, right on the border, that are in a business called Rancher's Rebellion. And they are direct marketing meat that they process in a couple of meat packing plants that they've been working on just as this COVID thing got going. So they're out there making these sales to people using a website and so on right at the time when this is the thing that seems to be what, you know, is helping some people out. So this is a family, Lacey Block and Drew Smith from Havana, North Dakota.
Are they using local packing plants then?
Yeah, they're using one that's federally inspected in Oaks, North Dakota, and one that's state inspected down at Bath, South Dakota. So direct marketing to farmers or through retail convenience stores and so on in various locations, and finishing beef that they had once been doing, selling calves. It's a, you know, new avenue and way to make direct sales and get a little better return on the sale.
Sounds interesting, Mikkel. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. July Minneapolis wheat up 3.75, rather up 4 at 5.15. July Chicago wheat down 1.25 at 5.21.25. July Kansas City wheat down 3/4. July corn up 1.25 at 3.19.25. December corn up 1.75 at 3.35.75. July soybeans up 6.5 at 8.50.75. November beans up 7 at 8.55.25. June live cattle up $1.05, rather up 97 cents at 94.97. May feeder cattle down $2.42 at 127.85. August down $1.47. May lean hogs down $1.55 at 67.25. June down $2.15. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your day. This is the Red River Farm Network.